Welcome to the Stewardship Podcast. I'm your host, Danny Nelson. Today we're going to talk about goals, because if you want to accomplish anything of significance, then the stewardship of your goals is of the utmost importance. Today, I'm going to share with you a conversation I had with Dennis Burt about long-term goals, short-term goals, how to set them, how to go about executing them. Let's take a listen, and I'll see you again on the other side for some parting thoughts. One of the popular things to do in the business world now is goal setting.
Yes.
Long-term and short-term. There are a lot more books and resources out there on that now than there used to be, and more being published every day. But I'm curious, Dennis, what is your process for setting long-term goals?
Well, you used a word a minute ago that is the starting point for me. That word you used was eternity. What is eternal life? It's knowing the heart of God. And so I'll borrow from a secular writer that I have admired over the years named Stephen Covey. And the first thing that I read of his work was 7 Habits of Highly Successful People. I still find that to be incredibly insightful and useful for everybody. But the first rule was, begin with the end in mind. That's just a powerful, simple, and important principle and understanding for accomplishing any goal or task. And the end is eternity. Scripture tells us that God has set eternity in our hearts. And because He has set eternity in our hearts, our goal is to begin there and view our lives as in the eternal presence of God. Now, many of us think of heaven and have had a lot of teaching about heaven as that which comes after life on earth. And I think that certainly in the mind of man, which is limited, that's not inappropriate or incorrect, that life on earth has a different quality to it than life in heaven. But I would suggest and really insist that those of us who are members of the family of God, household of faith, citizens of the kingdom of God, are living that life now, so that we are living in eternal life today, tomorrow, and the next day, and that there will be a crossing over point. Either we die and enter into the presence of God, or if we are alive when God returns, He will rapture us and take us to that place that He's prepared for us. So the process of setting long-term goals begins there. How do we get to the place that we have read in Scripture, where we enter His presence, His actual presence, at the fullness of His presence, and hear the words, "Well done, good and faithful servant." That has to be, I think, for the believer, the long-term goal. And so you start there and you work back. And so what is it that gets us to that ultimate place? And that brings up a question then, what is your strategy for accomplishing long-term goals? Mm-hmm. And I'll answer that with a simple statement. My strategy for accomplishing long-term goals is accomplishing short-term goals. And so you break down then the things that are right before you. What are your goals related to your role as father or mother? What's your goal in your role as a student or an employee or a business owner or a pastor? So whatever your role is needs to set the boundaries or the context for what your short-term goals are. You know, we talked about eternity and the fact that we're living eternal lives now. So one way to look at long-term goals is if you were able to write your own epitaph, what would it say? What would your life consist of? And so everyone should be concerned about that. And as soon as they have an awareness of that, they should be interested in what their life amounted to. Now, I like to, because I think it's so true and so useful and so simple, and there's a difference between simple and easy. Big difference, but so simple. You go to the Westminster Catechism, the first question presented, and this would be to young children who are studying the shorter catechism, what is the chief end of man? And the answer to that question is to glorify God and enjoy Him forever. And that's a two-part answer. It's easier for us to get our heads around glorifying God than it is to enjoy Him forever. But they go hand in hand, and both are equally true, and they're not fully true one without the other. So it is, I believe, a profound and true statement that we all benefit from thinking about and applying. So the only reason we would not set long-term goals is we just default to the immediate. And that's not to live the noblest life. One of the things that differentiates economic classes is the length of their perspectives. I've heard that the British elite, when a child is born, immediately enroll him in university. They put his name on the waiting list. Now, that's a high level of thinking because they are thinking long-term, what benefits this child and what provisions and opportunities as parents they want to make available to this child. On the other end of the spectrum, there are many people who are just trying to figure out how to get through the day. And that can be wealthy people who are under a great deal of stress and in relational turmoil, who really don't know how they can survive the day and the stress of the day because of various things. Or it can be people living in poverty who don't have any food and wonder how they'll keep themselves alive from one day to the next. So circumstances certainly can play into our tendency to think in short terms or long terms. But as members of the kingdom, we are charged, challenged, and equipped to think in the longest terms there are.
I agree. There's a quote, and I've tried to find the source of it over the years, but the quote is, "You always choose what you want the most. In every circumstance, every decision that you make, you always end up choosing what you want the most." A lot of factors can play into what you want. What do you want the people closest to you to think of you can be one of those. It may look like you choose something you don't want, but you might make a decision that doesn't appear to be in your best interest, but really is, because if you chose something that looked like it was more in your interest, maybe your spouse or a sibling would give you flack for it, and that would be something you don't want. So you would choose something that benefits those around you because it also benefits you.
I think that's a wonderful idea and very useful question because it penetrates to the very heart of a person. Even as you say that, what comes to my mind is the demon, and I'll use that figuratively, that I'm battling all the time, and that is choosing my comfort over many other things that would present themselves to me. And so I get tested on that every day. I doubt that a day goes by that I don't have to choose between what's comfortable for me versus something else that would be to my betterment or the betterment of someone else. That is living to the glory of God versus living for my own comfort.
I think that's very insightful because that's something we all struggle with every day. It's easier to choose what is comfortable because we don't like pain. We don't like difficulty. So we choose what's familiar. As you were talking about the British elite, if you want a long-term good for your recently born child, then you're going to make choices that affect their long-term good.
That's right. And, you know, we have in the United States and South Carolina, where we live currently, is, you don't have to enroll them in a particular university, which I don't know of any case where you can do that, but you can certainly start a college savings account, for instance, as a way of thinking long term about what may be in the best interest of the child. And that has so many different applications, it would take a long time to get into it. I would say this about strategy for accomplishing long-term goals. I've already said that you achieve that by accomplishing short-term goals. And when it gets into goal setting, as you mentioned earlier, Danny, there's so much that's been written, I mean, for a lot of years and maybe more now than ever before. But a goal has to be specific, measurable, and on a time schedule. Any goal, I've heard it said and said it myself, any goal that's not written down, it's just wishful thinking. And so an effective goal only is a goal once you can write it down, define it in writing. It's also good to share that with someone else who can hold you accountable to it or revisit it with you on many occasions to either challenge you, encourage you, or in some way help you. But setting it to a schedule and a time frame is also extremely important. It really releases all of your creative ability and energy to accomplish that goal. And getting it defined and written down does something beyond us that brings that into a reality that we can later grasp, especially if it's the right kind of goal, a goal that leads us to glorifying God and enjoying Him forever. We release the power of God's Spirit in that goal to accomplish it for us.
Well, I hope and I'm confident in that hope that you enjoyed that conversation as much as I did. Now, I've had the opportunity to go back and listen to it a few times as I've edited it, and I recommend you go back and listen as well, because there were several takeaways that are invaluable to goal setting. I'm going to highlight a few of them right here, but to get a full recap, please go back and listen again and hear it from Dennis directly. The first thing that popped out to me was a reminder to begin with the end in mind. If you've read 7 Habits of Highly Effective People, you know that one, but it's always good to rehear it. And from a Christian worldview perspective, to think about eternity being the end in mind that we should start with for every long-term goal is very valuable. And Dennis went on to say that eternal life is right now, and that we should be living that way right now. We have eternal life. We're not waiting for it. We have it now if we are Christ's and we are redeemed by Him. And the next takeaway that I really like is that the long-term goal for the believer is to hear the words of Jesus, "Well done, good and faithful servant." And we can reverse engineer from there. I hope we can get into what that looks like a little bit later. Another takeaway was, I thought, very clever and very true, was Dennis's strategy for accomplishing long-term goals. And that strategy is to accomplish short-term goals. And I don't think I can overstate the significance of that statement, because if we don't have long-term goals, all of our short-term goals aren't going to accomplish anything of lasting significance. The next thing he talked about that I really liked was the idea of breaking down short-term goals into role categories: father, mother, pastor, employee, employer. There's so many different roles that we could talk about. But letting those roles set the boundaries for what our goal should be. Another thing that Dennis said that really resonated with me is that as members of the kingdom, we are charged, challenged, and equipped. Listen to that. We are charged, challenged, and equipped to think in the longest terms there are. Those longest terms being eternity that has been placed in our hearts by God. And remember, a good goal must be specific, measurable, and have a timetable. And any goal that's not written down is just wishful thinking. Thanks for listening today. Let me remind you that I am offering a 2021 tax return projection service. If you are at all concerned about the 2021 tax law changes and how they affect you, especially if your situation has changed at all, you can have clarity on what your 2021 tax return will look like. You don't have to wait until April 15th, 2022 to know what that will be. We can run a projection, we can see what your results will be, and then we can make a plan to change those results if you don't like where it's headed. If you would like to do that, head on over to taxstewardship.com. Again, that address is taxstewardship.com, and get started on your 2021 tax return projection now. Thank you for listening to the Stewardship Podcast, where it's all about stewardship.